Thanks for tuning in to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast, where we talk about your body, how it moves, and empowering you with the knowledge to manage and treat your pain or discomfort. You will also get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at a successful private practice. You have the questions, and we have the answers. Now let's get moving.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And your co-host, Allie.
Thanks for joining us again. We are coming at you with our Clinical Corner episode for May. Yeah, so.
It's like halfway through the year almost.
That's crazy. Doesn't seem like it should be.
No, it's, I know I complain about this a lot, but it's really going too quickly.
May's a great month though, you know.
It is great.
Graduations, Mother's Day, all the flowers are blooming.
That means bugs are coming back.
Bugs are coming, but, you know, spring is new growth, rebirth. I think we mentioned Allie's puppy, Stella.
I don't think we did.
On one of our episodes, did we talk about Stella?
I got a puppy, and so did
Stella's
Matt.
Famous, and I got a puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not. We didn't plan this.
Speaking of spring, right?
I know. So my puppy is Winnie, a chocolate lab.
Stella and Winnie.
Allie's is a yellow lab, so maybe we'll have to post this Stella and Winnie. Oh. And we'll have them host the podcast, and we'll just let them
It'll be
bark.
A lot of barking.
Well, I hope you guys are having a good May, and we're going to go over this Clinical Corner article. We always try to give our students a little quiz, so all the students are probably wrapping up classes, but don't turn your brains off.
Oh, senioritis.
That's right. Think about what treatments in physical therapy might have the highest contextual effects.
Contextual.
Or what improvement might be attributed to contextual effects.
Explain.
Probably a better way to say that. So you guys might remember, I think we mentioned that we had a Con Ed course a couple weeks, maybe months back, where we had a speaker from University of Kentucky come. Matt Lee came and talked to us about different factors that go into the physical therapy treatment. And this is a common theme in medicine, not just physical therapy, but we've been diving into it a little bit more. Think about if you go to a restaurant and you might get the greatest food ever, but maybe your waiter or waitress is rude.
Your table was dirty before you got
there. Table's dirty. Yeah. There's a smell in the restaurant. You know, like maybe the people around you
the
are
vibes
like
are
loud.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. So that affects the quality of which you
your
think
experience.
About that food,
yeah.
Right? It's not just the food.
Exactly.
And so medicine and healthcare is very much the same way. Mm-hmm. You could have the greatest doctor in the world, but
right.
a dirty waiting room.
Disgruntled
you know,
employees.
Exactly. All that affects maybe your confidence or your feeling of, you know, just overall well-being
mm-hmm.
in that situation.
It could definitely deter people from coming back.
Exactly. Coming back, and a lot of it dives deep, and this gets a little bit above my pay grade, but when they start analyzing, like, why do we feel this way in medicine, a lot of it relates back to some really, really deep behavioral reflexes related to safety. Because as humans, we're programmed to want to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to avoid danger. We want to avoid risk.
We want to trust the place that
Correct.
We chose.
Correct.
Okay.
So trust is huge when it comes to healthcare
mm-hmm.
because you're putting yourself, you're choosing to put yourself in a vulnerable situation.
Right.
You're going to let someone enter your personal space. You're going to let them do some sort of procedure to you. You're going to let them do something that has potential side effects. So it's a very... you know, it's not something that we're programmed to think, oh, let's go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we see things around us that make the environment or make us feel like maybe this isn't safe, maybe they don't know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
maybe I don't have great confidence, that's going to affect our outlook on the treatment delivered.
You know what the kids are calling that these days?
What's that, Allie?
Sus. This place is sus.
This place is sus.
You know what that stands for?
Suspect.
A little bit. Suspicious.
Suspicious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Suspect, suspicious, kind of same.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I like to learn these new things, too.
The vibes are off and the place is sus.
Okay. Well, so, it you know, that's one way to say it. And
I'm just keeping us, you know, abreast.
Yeah, exactly. So this study was kind of cool because they started to kind of look into that, and it's hot off the presses. It's
always
from
is.
JOSPT. Last month, April 15, 2024. So They just kind of came out with this article, and the title of it is which portion of physiotherapy treatment's effects is attributable to contextual effects in people with musculoskeletal pain.
They really aren't getting any shorter with these titles.
We're not done yet.
Oh my gosh.
A meta-analysis of randomized placebo-controlled trials.
I should know not to speak too soon.
So this is one of those studies where they go back and do a meta-analysis. They look at a lot of different studies that were done, try to dig into what the different points in the articles or studies were. And these are randomized placebo-controlled trials. So they would compare, you know, like one treatment and then a sham treatment. So they call that sham, like it's not real. So
a sham wow.
An example would be an ultrasound. You know, they might do an ultrasound on someone with a setting that's therapeutic, and then they might do an ultrasound and never turn the machine on.
Interesting.
So the patient would never know the difference. It's placebo. It could be controlled that way, but then they kind of, you know, compare the outcome. So that's what that is. This type of study is done a lot when they look back and try to conglomerate a lot of data all at once. So,
I don't know how I would feel about that if I was a patient and I'm getting the placebo.
Yeah,
I feel like I'd be tricked too easy.
Well, if anyone out there is conducting a
study, don't even
Allie
put me in there.
Has volunteered herself to be in the placebo group.
No,
so. Well, we'll have a copy of this article up for you guys. Since it's hot off the press, it doesn't look pretty, but it's still worth the read.
No pictures.
Exactly. but what they've done is they kind of went through all these different articles. And the interesting thing is when they started to look at what was attributable to contextual effects, when they looked at musculoskeletal pain, it was some pretty common things that we deal with and we see in physical therapy. They looked at like knee arthritis, neck pain, back pain. They looked at fibromyalgia. And so as clinicians, it's interesting because you probably have experienced patients, or if you're a patient out there, you may have talked to other people, and maybe you have osteoarthritis in your knee and it bothers you just a little bit here and there. And someone else has osteoarthritis in their knee and they're completely like debilitated. They can't walk. So these diagnoses are suspect to contextual effects that could change how the patient interprets pain. So it's a very moving target, basically. And so with these different diagnoses, they were trying to assess of the treatment that we do, what portion of the treatment is based on contextual effects. And so when they look back at all these different studies, they analyzed them, and the type of treatment with the largest attributable contextual effects for pain intensity, they assessed them in a couple different intervals. They looked immediately after the intervention, they looked at a midpoint, and then they looked down the road. But the one that was most based on contextual effects was mobilization. It was basically 87% of the overall treatment effect.
So, like, you mean hands-on?
Yeah,
treatment.
So we define different categories of hands-on treatment. So okay. We talk about mobilization, meaning we're moving one joint at a slow to medium speed, basically. So manipulation is a faster movement, which you might think of as like getting your neck cracked or getting your back popped or something like that. That's a manipulation. A mobilization would be same type of stretch, but just not as fast. And then they looked at like soft tissue work, so different types of trigger point release, you know, massage, those sort of things.
Okay.
So 87% is pretty
high.
Big.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so that means that all of the things that we do as clinicians, all the things that we talked about in our Matt Lee course, meaning being well groomed, being well dressed, mm-hmm. smiling when you meet the patient. Explaining the treatment, asking if they have any questions, setting up the environment right. So maybe you're doing a mobilization and you're mobilizing their lumbar spine, but you don't realize that the face cushion, it's like they can't breathe very well.
Oh.
You know, like, and they're like, not that they're like suffocating, but it's just not very comfortable.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So that's a contextual effect that has a huge effect on the outcome.
Okay.
Or, you know, like maybe their knee is against a side of the table and it's like uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And like a roll under their ankles would totally eliminate that issue. So, you know, simple things like before the treatment, asking the patient, do you have any more questions?
Yeah.
Is everything comfortable? Those sort of things that our Oxford physical therapists are really well trained mm-hmm. at allow us to eliminate some of those other barriers that could get in the way of delivering a great treatment. Because as a clinician, you know, hey, this mobilization is going to be good. It's just maybe considering some of those other things.
Yeah, we might be a medical place, but still minding your hospitality values.
Exactly.
Can make it a whole difference, you know?
Yeah, so the other treatments that were, you know, highly affected by contextual factors, soft tissue techniques was like 81% of the overall treatment effect.
Okay.
Dry needling was 75%. Manipulation techniques were 74%, and taping was 69%.
That's high up there for...
Yeah, so it's interesting that, you know, all of those, in my mind, have a similar thing that, like, I'm putting my hands on you to mm-hmm. do something.
Yeah.
It involves some sort of interaction where I'm either putting a needle, I'm
right.
using tape, I'm using my hands,
an
I'm
instrument.
Using an instrument.
Yeah.
Like there's something foreign or something coming, you know,
yeah.
towards your body or onto your body.
Yeah.
So I think back to the original conversation we had and how much trust is involved in that. Like if I'm going to let you put a needle
right.
in a muscle in my neck
I'm
that
really
I can't
hoping
even
that
see.
You didn't have a bad day today.
And I don't trust you inherently.
Yeah.
Something... in the initial interaction of our relationship makes me wonder, like, I don't really know. Like,
yeah.
does this guy know what he's doing?
Absolutely.
Or is this place a good place? Like, the whole time I'm probably going to be thinking about
mm-hmm.
that, you know? So, and this article kind of identifies that. And it's interesting because the lowest portion of contextual effects on pain intensity for overall treatment was exercise therapy. It was
okay.
like 46%.
Huh.
So not that it's not a factor, but again, back to what we were discussing, like if I ask you to do an exercise,
you're kind of doing it solo. Like
you have a little more control of that
yeah.
because if it starts to hurt, you can uh-huh. stop, you can tell me, you can, you know, it's just not as, you're not relinquishing as much control. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
maybe require as much trust. So
you're
I
still
think
interacting with
that.
The therapist, but they're not. Their hands aren't on you.
Correct. Yeah. So it's,
I can't help but just think like this is all talking about a therapist just, you know, having a really bad day and their hands are on somebody else.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a bad day, but I think someone that maybe if you have the mindset that I'm the greatest therapist in the world, everything I do works. I don't need to think about anything else or include the patient in decision making or include
okay.
the patient in goal setting or discussing the treatment. You know, I think it could be a situation where the patient is, you know, probably not having a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
One of the great things I think our therapists do is sit on the initial evaluation and they get to know the patient. So
mm-hmm.
that trust is built and there's a discussion about, hey, this is what I see on the exam. These are the things that I think we can do to help you. What are your thoughts and feelings about that?
Yeah.
And
what are your goals?
You
How
know,
can we get there together?
There may be a patient that says, you know what? You may think that dry needling is the greatest thing in the world, but I hate needles and I just can't even fathom thinking about a needle coming near me.
Right.
That patient's probably not going to have a great outcome with dry needling, even if that therapist is the greatest dry needler in the world
right.
and that diagnosis is perfectly appropriate for dry needling. So,
they should think of a different way to get.
Yeah, I think there's different ways to kind of go around that. So it's kind of interesting. I did want to point out that, you know, we talked about kind of the short and the middle treatment effects, but when you get to the long term, only manipulation could be included in the analysis. And even then, still, 86% of the overall treatment effects were explained by the contextual effects in the long term. You know, so it seems like even down the road, people remember those factors of the non-treatment factors and how it affected their outcome of how their pain was.
Wild.
So there, your brain has a lot to do with interpretation of pain. We're learning so much more about that. And I'm excited to see us trying to integrate this into physical therapy treatment. You know, it's something that, having done it for a while, it's things that you kind of knew or thought, you know, but it's nice to see them proven in the literature.
Does this kind of go hand in hand with the one article we went over like fear avoidance?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, you know, picking up on that as a therapist, someone that may be anxious or fearful about treatment overall or therapy in general, or, you know, they have a lot of pain and so they have a lot of anxiety about movement maybe. With those diagnoses and those patients, sometimes the first visit is maybe just talking with them, and it might be different, you know, exercise that is not stressful to their individual injured area. I'll never forget having a shoulder patient that just literally was so afraid to move their arm, and we just talked for a little while. We did some light modalities, and we walked on the treadmill, and they were kind of like, you know, I'm here for my shoulder, right? But
just getting them comfortable walking, in the environment, talking to them.
Comfortable in the environment, walking, swinging their arm, beginning to trust that, hey, I can move a little bit and this doesn't hurt. This doesn't make me worse. Just builds that relationship we call the therapeutic alliance, because it's an alliance between us and the patient. And so I think that, you know, this is a great time to mention that patients have the option to choose direct access and come right to physical therapy. So if you are out there and you're like, hey, I've done physical therapy and it wasn't anything like what you're talking about, come experience the Oxford difference and try some physical therapy, because I think we're going to look at you as a total person, not just related to your diagnosis of knee pain or osteoarthritis or whatever that is. But we're going to take into effect, take into account how all of these other things can be affecting your diagnosis and develop a treatment plan cooperatively with you to work with that.
When you say, and I know I've said it before, but when you say therapeutic alliance, I just imagine us making a Marvel movie.
I know.
About like all of our super physical therapists.
That would be cool. We should come up with a superpower for each therapist, and then we could, like, you know, that each one in the Marvel group, we'd know what they can do, like be invisible, or like, you know.
I'll design the outfits.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Well, so this whole article will be up there. Like I said, it's a very, very deep dive into it. I gave some highlights, but I think it's a good read for the students out there. You know, just think high contextual effects for hands-on treatment. Your mobilizations, your manipulations, your soft tissue work, your dry needling, your taping. In the short term, those are all going to be based a lot on things that are in your control, but are maybe not clinical. So just take that into account when you're designing your treatment plans.
Did you answer the question? Was that the answer?
That was the answer.
That was the answer.
That was the answer. Short answer. full written sentences with complete grammar, please, when you submit the answers.
Okay. As long as it's not as long as the title.
That's right.
We'll get there. All right.
Well, awesome. You guys have a great May, and thanks for tuning in.
Thanks. Until next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find us online at oxfordphysicaltherapy.com, and you can also find us on our social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Remember, you do not need a doctor's referral to receive physical therapy in the state of Ohio and Kentucky, where we offer double the care for less than half the cost. You can schedule appointments online or stop into any center for a free screen, what we like to call a B-visit. Please write a review, send us a comment or message on our social media platforms, and until next time, keep it movin'!